Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the midst of a thrilling series of studies on Isaiah, the gospel prophet. If you missed any of them, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. You can watch all of them. The prophet is talking about Messiah who will come. No wonder Isaiah is called the gospel prophet. Today, to serve and to save, we're going to talk about more prophecies that point to Jesus as Messiah. We're glad you joined us. And welcome to the team. Take a look. We're still the remnant, the little Gideon's band, because of social distancing. But God's been blessing even with the little group, hasn't
yes.
He?
Yes.
It's been an amazing series. I'm actually looking forward to when we're back to 12, and whenever that is, God knows. But the gospel is not bound by restrictions.
Right.
We can continue with a few, just like the story of Gideon, who went from 32,000 to 10,000 to 300 people that God used to bring a great victory. And actually, it wasn't their victory, was it? It was His victory. And we're seeing God work in amazing ways. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. We've got a special gift for you for this series. It's an audiobook you can download called Radical Evidence. It not only includes the prophecies of Isaiah about Messiah, but all of the prophecies of the Old Testament. Jesus said, they testify about me. And then powerful stories from the 21st century of people who came to know Jesus and were thoroughly convinced He is indeed the Messiah, Savior of the world. So how can you get your copy? It's simple. Use the same address to write to us that you do when you share how God's blessing. sshope@hopetv.org. And in the subject line, just put free offer. We'll send you a link so you can download your digital audiobook. I know you'll be blessed. We'd also like to encourage you to keep writing to us. sshope@hopetv.org. We're excited to hear, aren't we?
Yes.
You get those emails from all around the world, over 200 countries around the world. Well, here's one from the country of Alabama. Well, that's actually in the United States of America, right? And Scott writes and says, I just want to say it is amazing how the Holy Spirit leads in our lives.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God made Himself known to me as a child, but I didn't give myself to Him until the year 2000. Mm. My walk with Jesus has been interesting, and I've come into present truth when I landed in Alabama, where He led me to a group watching Hope Sabbath School.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Cool.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen.
I love how God has blessed you with the spirit of teaching the Word, and He'll be with you as long as prophecy unfolds.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Not if we meet in heaven, Scott writes, but when we meet in heaven, let's meet at the tree of life. What do you say?
Amen. Amen.
Love the entire team, the songs. Praise the Lord. I can't make a donation yet until I get blessed too. Well, you've already made a donation, Scott. You shared your testimony and it blessed a million plus Hope Sabbath School members around the world, didn't it?
Amen.
Because you have come to trust Jesus as your personal Savior. Isaac writes from Zimbabwe, and Isaac is a pastor, Pastor Isaac. And he says, I have seen the hand of God through Hope Sabbath School.
Amen. Amen.
Early this year in May, when we moved to our new place, we had neighbors who at night were being harassed by evil spirits.
Wow.
One Friday, this is Zimbabwe, one Friday, in the evening, we invited them over for a prayer session, and we ended up watching Hope Sabbath School. That night, the neighbors slept well. Someone say amen.
Amen.
I mean, God is an awesome
wow.
God, isn't
amen.
He? That's beyond us.
Yes.
That's supernatural.
Yes.
That's the strong arm that
yes.
we've been studying about in Isaiah. We even encourage them to keep studying the Bible. The mother wants to be baptized.
Amen. Amen.
We're praying for the two daughters to follow their mother's footsteps and accept Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Isaac, thanks for writing. Pastor Isaac from Zimbabwe. Isn't that an amazing story?
Yes.
That is what our great and awesome God can do.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't Isaiah say, there is none like me,
mm-hmm. yes.
speaking of the true God. Well, here's a note from a donor couple in North Carolina in the United States. And I want to just pause and say thank you for being part of our ministry. It's a donor-supported ministry, and you can go to hopetv.org/donate. Just that simply, you can make a donation. I'd like to have a letter too, though, because it's nice to read and encourage people. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't read your name. We're not trying to give advertising for people. We're trying to give honor to God. Amen?
Amen.
But we do thank you for your support. This couple writes, "Greetings in the name of the Lord."
Amen. Amen.
"We're so deeply blessed by Hope Sabbath School and watch it regularly. The Hope Sabbath School team is a blessing to us. We feel like we know each one of you." You probably had people come up to you and say, "I know you," and you've never seen them before, but they watch Hope Sabbath School. "We love hearing your testimonies." I'm praying we'll hear some powerful testimonies today. "Your heart for the Lord is inspiring. Please know how much we appreciate all of you, and a gift for $100 to help Hope Sabbath School."
Amen.
Amen.
You know, we're all part of a great miracle of God, and I just want to thank you for partnering with us. Well, here is Omweno. Omweno is a Kenyan living in Uganda. Lisa, you got to give Dr. Omweno. Omweno, I'm assuming this is the first name. Kenyan citizen working in Uganda. "Hope Sabbath School has transformed my life ever since I started watching it."
Amen. Amen.
By the way, I asked Lisa to wave because Lisa's home country is Kenya, right? Even though you're living here in the United States now. He continues, and Wenu continues and says, "I have streamlined my ways in the Lord."
Amen.
That's an interesting expression, isn't it? It's like bringing everything into harmony with the will of God and the Word of God. "The Hope Sabbath School team is doing a powerful work. I know God more through Hope Sabbath School."
Amen.
This is a doctor writing.
Praise God.
"I know God more through Hope Sabbath School. It has made me read the Bible more and more." Amen?
Amen.
And Wendo, thanks for writing to us there working in Uganda. We're just rejoicing in the Lord, aren't we?
Amen.
We're just happy what God is doing. And one last note from Shirley in South Africa. "I greet you all in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ," she says. "I miss the larger panel and familiar faces." And she mentions Jason, who isn't here. Stephanie, who's not here. Tricia Lee, who's not here. I'm sorry, we're dealing with restrictions here. You may see them on an upcoming program, but we're down to 5 because of the social distancing. But she goes on, "I can't get enough of Hope Sabbath School. I'm so inspired by the testimonies. I can't wait for the next lesson and the next. During this lockdown where there's no church, our family has church at home. And I always share what I learned on Hope Sabbath School. God continue to bless you as you touch many lives for heaven. Hope we meet you all in heaven. Amen."
Amen. Amen.
Well, Shirley, thanks for writing to us from South Africa. I'm just amazed at what God is doing. And you know, what's exciting for me is when you sing with us. Actually, right now, we're not allowed to sing in the studio because of the restrictions, but you can sing our theme song. It's taken from Isaiah 55, and it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Let's sing together.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord. God.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I want to thank you so much that when we seek you, we will find you when we search for you with all of our hearts. And that's not just something I made up. That's very embedded in the word of the prophet Jeremiah. I thank you that you speak through the prophets. And today, as we study some important prophecies from the prophet Isaiah, I pray the Holy Spirit who inspired the prophet would speak to our hearts today life-changing truth. And I pray, Lord God, in this topic to serve and to save, that we would experience a word for our lives today. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to start our study in Isaiah chapter 41 as we consider prophecies about the servant of the Lord. And Travis, would you start our study by reading Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8? It's talking about the servant of the Lord. And who is this servant of the Lord? 41 verse 8.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend.
Now I want you to remember that, because later we're going to see that the Messiah is the servant of the Lord. But actually, we're all servants of the Lord, except our job is to point to the Messiah, right? We're servants who point to the servant of the Lord. How well did Israel, John, do in pointing people to the Messiah?
Not too well. Not too well. In their history, there were major setbacks.
So there were some faithful ones, weren't there? All through time, God's had faithful women and faithful men who were pointing to the Messiah. And it's true today as well, right? But you're right. There wasn't, it was not what God expected or desired, right, Travis?
So they were faithful, but they still were imperfect people.
Even the faithful ones were imperfect, but as John pointed out, a lot of them didn't even begin to try their mission of pointing to the Messiah. In spite of that, there's a beautiful promise given. And Lisa, if you could read it for us in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Because Travis, even though we're imperfect, we're still loved by a God with an immeasurable and unfailing love, right?
That's right.
And he gives promises to us. Let's read one of those promises in Isaiah 41:10.
From the New King James Version, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
Now that happens to be, Gladys, one of my favorite promises in the Bible. I've claimed that in many times in difficult situations. But someone might say, "Derek, I think you're kind of reading into that text that something that doesn't relate to you at all. That was just a promise spoken to Israel, you know, 2,700 years ago. Fear not, the Lord said to them." Help me out, someone. Is that promise also for me? You say, well, Travis, what would you say to that?
He says, "I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever." God does not change. These are words of life for us each individually.
Oh, that's a powerful insight. Thank you. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that promise given to his children then, come on now, someone get excited, is a promise for his children today.
That's right.
All right? But you know that's not the only place in the Bible where he says you don't need to be afraid, even though you are imperfect, right? Give me some other places that give us that assurance. Gladys?
John 14, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, that's more the fear about the fact that Jesus has just left in the context now he's going to come back again, right? So that would be a good one. All right, another one? Yes, Lisa?
We read Psalms 23 with the Lord being our shepherd.
We read that in a previous study. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, why don't you need to fear evil there?
I am with you.
He says, because it doesn't say you won't walk through that valley, but you don't need to fear because he's with you. So this, and another one? Yes?
Matthew chapter 28, he commissions disciples to go and preach the gospel, and he says, I will be with you even to the end of the age.
Amen. All right, and isn't there another place that says, I will never leave you or forsake you?
Mm-hmm.
So there are all of these promises, but I come back, Travis, thank you for sharing. A promise given to God's children 2,700 years ago mm-hmm. is a promise for his children today.
Yes.
Fear not, mm-hmm. for I will... How does it? Fear not, for I am with you. Mm-hmm. Be not dismayed, yeah. for I am your God. Well, with that wonderful assurance, we come on, John, to verse 14 of chapter 41. And that's a little confusing for some people. Well, let's see what name he calls Israel.
And I'm reading from the New King James. It says, Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel.
Now, why would he call Israel? He's just giving them this wonderful promise, right? Mm-hmm. I'll uphold you, you worm. Why would he call them a worm? There's another place in I think it's Isaiah 43. He says, you're precious in my sight, and I love you. So why here? John, what do you think? Why would he say you worm, Israel?
You know, just as God is faithful with his love and proclaiming his promises, he also evaluates us honestly. And this is probably an evaluation of Israel. But yet his love does not change for them.
So he's smiling and reaching out to embrace us while he calls us. I'm thinking of in the New Testament where Jesus says, I send you out as lambs. You know, they're not that smart. They're not that strong. Why does he use, what's he trying to impress upon the people of God back then and even us today? Mm. Travis? Mm.
The fact that they've been afflicted, the fact that they're helpless, mm-hmm. you know, they have no strength of their own. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to encourage them, well, you may view yourselves as insignificant. I'm here to help you.
Mm-hmm. Or you may not see yourself as insignificant.
Right.
You may think you're a superhero mm-hmm. and don't even need God.
Yeah.
Harold?
I was just going to actually add to what Travis was saying, that he was going to remind them, like, you have to realize your condition. You are weak, and you need me to help you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lisa?
Exactly what I was going to say. And thinking about worms, they move really, really slowly. So we definitely need God.
Yeah.
Well, whether I know I'm a worm and not that strong or moving that fast and I need the assurance of God, or whether I think I'm a superhero, mm-hmm. and I need to be humble yeah. so that God can work miracles through me. Mm-hmm. In love, he tells us the truth, John, yeah. right? He tells us the truth. Yep. Well, God wants his children to be the servant of the Lord. But then we move to chapter 42. And Harold, I'm going to ask you to read verse 1 of Isaiah 42, because here the focus shifts from Israel mm-hmm. to someone very special.
Oh, yes. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it reads, Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles.
Mm. Who is this servant of the Lord? Well, let's look at a few other passages here in the same book. Isaiah 49 and verse 7, Isaiah 51 verse 10, Isaiah 52 verse 13, mm-hmm. Isaiah 53. You say, wow, the servant of the Lord is a theme in this second half of the book. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 49 mm-hmm. and verse 7, Lisa.
From the New King James Version, Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him who the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you.
Servant of the Lord, they shall come and worship. That's an interesting combination of words, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Chapter 51, verse 10, Gladys?
51, verse 10. I'm reading from the New International Version. Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made a road in the depths of the sea so that the redeemed might cross over?
There's something very special about this servant. Chapter 52 and verse 13. Travis?
52:13, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high.
Very high. In fact, New Testament will say, at his name every knee will bow. The highest. Right?
Yeah.
What about one last, 53 verse 11? John?
Sure thing. New King James says, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities.
Now, I'm excited because actually, Lisa, you're going to teach on that topic in just a couple of studies, right? Mm-hmm. So very clear fulfillment in Jesus Messiah. Mm-hmm. Why do you think Jesus Messiah, the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us, why is he given the title the servant of the Lord? Mm-hmm. What do you think? I mean, he's got other titles, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, right? Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. Why this title, Servant of the Lord? Harold?
Oh, it just reminds me, I can't remember if it's in John, but Jesus said, I am being your master. I have come to serve. I did not come to be served, but to serve. And we see that throughout his life. And even before he came on earth, he's always been serving us, which is amazing. A God serving humanity, you know. It's like, wow. And in other cultures, it's the opposite. Like, people are trying to, like, serve and please God. But here, God is trying to work with us.
So that idea, and you quoted or paraphrased the words of Jesus, where he said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to give his life, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
A ransom for many. Travis, servant of the Lord.
So he's doing what Israel wasn't doing.
That's
right. So he came to do the will of his Father who sent him. And again, I go back to this idea that if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. He's showing us what God is like. God is the God of love who wants to serve.
Let's take a look still in chapter 42, verses 2 through 7. John, if you could read that for us, at the mission of the servant of the Lord, none other than the Son of God, the Word, who will become flesh and dwell among us.
Isaiah 42, verses 2 through 7. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house.
So before we unpack all of that and say how all of that was fulfilled in the life of Jesus, the true Messiah, let's go over to Matthew's testimony, because remember, God reveals his truth to his servants, the prophets. In Matthew chapter 12, let's look at a little narrative and then a restatement of this prophecy given 700 years earlier. Lisa, could you read for us starting in Matthew 12 and verse 9? And by the way, if you're with us for Hope Sabbath School, you've never read the Gospels, you need to read them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is the most complete testimony about God who came into humanity to reveal his immeasurable and unfailing love. Let's take a look, starting in verse 9 of Matthew 12.
To what verse?
Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 9 down through verse 23.
Okay, from the New King James Version. Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David?
Now, you know, it's interesting that that Matthew quotes and he says it was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Mm-hmm. There are liberal scholars who say that wasn't actually Isaiah the prophet. That was a second person, mm-hmm. not Isaiah, because these prophecies, even about Cyrus that we'll look at in a minute, how could they be telling things that are going to happen so far in the future? Mm-hmm. And the answer is there's a God who knows the end from the beginning, yes. right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that, but let's focus in on this prophecy. But we're looking in Matthew now because it's actually being fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. During the time of Jesus. So let's look at a few of the descriptions of the servant of the Lord. A bruised reed he will not break. Mm. Do a scan of the ministry of Jesus here on the earth, revealing the love of the Father. Where do you see a story of the bruised reed he will not break? Mm-hmm. Gladys?
I would think of the woman that anointed his feet.
Ah.
You know, she was despised and rejected by everybody, but yet he showed love for her. He didn't despise her, he didn't push her away. Mm. So I see her as a bruised reed.
So you see that as a bruised reed. And of course, she's expressing her love and devotion, actually guided by the Holy Spirit to anoint Jesus before his death. Hmm. Anybody else? A bruised reed he will not break. Yes, Harold.
The story that we just read about the man with a shriveled hand, I mean, it makes me think like, you know, he's brokenhearted, and also people are not on his favor because he can't be healed on the Sabbath, but yet Jesus is restoring him fully. So it's like, and defending him at the same time.
Let's look at another description, a smoking flax or dimly burning flax he will not quench. Can you think of a story? I hope you're reading the Gospels. You know, I taught a class on the life and teachings of Jesus for many years. Do you know many young adults who came into the class growing up in Christian homes had never read one of the Gospels? Mm. That ought to trouble us,
yeah.
because this is the most powerful testimony, isn't it?
Yeah.
About the love of the Father. So scan through the stories. A dimly burning flax or a
smoking
flax he will not quench. Harold?
Actually, I think of the story of Mark 9 about the man whose faith was kind of quivering because he had his son who needed healing.
I thought of the same story.
Yeah, and so his faith, he says, like, you know, help me with my unbelief. So Jesus was not going to quench the little faith that he had. So he was able to...
I like one translation that says, I believe, help me to believe more, or help my unbelief.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Jesus heals his son who's been harassed by a demon. So a smoking flax, you could say he was a bruised reed too, but I think that's a great example. Mm-hmm. Another story, yes, John.
One of the rare times that Jesus commends the faith of somebody was the Syrophoenician woman who came with the trouble of her daughter's demon possession. And Jesus gave an apparent prejudice, so to show the disciples But this woman persisted and would not relent until Jesus says, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." And didn't quench, I guess you could say.
You could probably think of some other stories, but I'm going to move on. He will preach my good tidings to the poor. Give me an example. Travis.
I was thinking when he drove out all the tax or all the money changers in the temple, and he sat down, and then the little children would come to him. The whole idea is that God wanted to serve the poor. He didn't want to rob the poor, but he wanted to serve them.
What about the Sermon on the Mount?
Blessed
are the poor in spirit. You know, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And that was preached where? What part of the country was that priest, that sermon?
In Galilee,
which was called Galilee of the Gentiles. Was kind of scorned by the religious leaders down in Judah, kind of a mixed multitude of people. And yet to them, he preaches the good news to the poor. Another example of preaching glad tidings to the poor. Think of another one? Yes,
I'm thinking of the widow of Nain. You know, she had her only son and had died.
Wow, that's really glad tidings. Thank you for that story.
Coming out and Jesus resurrected her son.
Luke chapter 7, she's lost her husband.
Yes.
We don't know when, but she's called a widow. And then she loses her only son. And what was the glad tidings that Jesus brought to her? It's in Luke chapter 7.
He brought life. He brought brought meaning back to her life, because being a widow and childless, basically, you were destitute in society, so you had nothing left.
He could have brought good news and said, when I come again in glory, you know, all who are in the grave will hear his voice. Some will be raised to
salvation,
a resurrection of life, and some to a resurrection of damnation.
Yeah.
But that's a long way away.
Right there,
he takes the hand of this young man and raises him to life. Thank you. That's a beautiful example. What about healing the brokenhearted?
So many times.
Healing the brokenhearted. John?
I can think of one after his resurrection. You know, Mary Magdalene is coming to the tomb and believes that this gardener knows of somebody taking the body of Jesus. She says, "Sir, if you have taken him, just please tell me where." He heals that with his presence and letting her know that I am he, Mary.
So now he told them, John, this is a little outside the lesson, I suppose, but he told them he was going to rise again. Why was it so difficult for them to really embrace that and say, well, it's okay, I would understand if his body's gone because he said he would rise again. She's still thinking he's dead and someone's taken the body. Lisa, why is it so hard for us to believe all of the amazing promises that the Lord gives to us?
Yeah, I think because she loved him so much and she couldn't bear to be without him. And sometimes, you know, that attachment brings weight of fear and confusion and being lost. And sometimes our emotions get the better of us.
So even though in our heads we may know a truth, the emotions of the moment, I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't just rebuke her, right?
Yeah.
But he says, Mary. He calls her
by her name.
And she recognizes him. Gladys?
You know, I was sharing with my Sabbath school class that there is a big difference between believing and knowing. You know, many of us read, Jesus loves me. And that is a good thing. But till you know from a personal experience, you know, that's when the connection really, you know, comes to reality. And that sometimes, you know, when the Lord was telling them this is going to happen, and I was listening to the words of Jesus this week, and he's just like, all these things he said. And then when it came reality, they were still confused because it had not really dawned on them. Because like Lisa said, their emotions got in the way.
Right. I'm glad he's patient. God's patient with us, aren't you?
Yes.
Because sometimes we're a little slow. But this last one mentioned in Isaiah 43, he will proclaim liberty to the captives and open prison doors to those who are bound. Harold?
The demoniac.
The Gadarene.
He was delivered, and he became a preacher as well to his people. God sent him.
So that's a wonderful example. There are seven stories of deliverance from demon possession in the Gospels. But there were many more than that. Mm-hmm. We know, right? Because John says if it was all written down, there wouldn't be enough room to, for the books, right? Yeah. So he's constantly opening prison doors. There are other kinds of prison doors, though, aren't there, besides demon possession? Mm-hmm. Where else do you see a story where Jesus proclaimed liberty to a captive? Mm. Yes, Lisa?
I think about the woman caught in adultery. She was ready to be stoned. I mean, the religious leaders were really upset with her, and her sentence seemed to be final. But she just fell at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus said, you know, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. He just set her free at that moment, but gave her a caution to leave that lifestyle behind and live in the freedom of Christ.
Proclaiming liberty to the captives. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That's good news, right? Amen. Now, we could keep going. And by the way, I want to challenge you. Go back, read that description of the servant of the Lord, clearly pointing to Messiah in Isaiah chapter 42. And you will find many examples, a multitude of examples in the Gospels of that being fulfilled. Yep. Now, we started out by saying God's desire is that his people, Israel, and even his people today, would be the servant of the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Doing the work of pointing people to him. But there's something that the servant of the Lord, that is the Messiah Jesus, could do that Israel or we could not possibly do. Let's look at some things that were unique for the servant of the Lord. Matthew 1, 18 to 23, Mark 2, 5 to 12, and Matthew 11, 28 to 30. And you might say, Derek, I can think of some things, other things only Jesus can do. All right? You can help me with that. But let's start with Matthew 1, beginning with verse 18. John, what is something that only the servant of the Lord, Jesus, the Messiah, could do?
The New King James says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to wife Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us.
Mm-hmm. What's one thing the servant of the Lord could do that no one else could do?
Mm-hmm. Save his people from their sins.
Save us from our sins. He's the Savior. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What else can he do? Let's look in Mark chapter 2. Gladys, beginning with verse 5. We could read from verse 1, but let's just focus in. They've carried this man on a stretcher. They've torn open the roof, and they've lowered him down to the feet of Jesus. Pick up the story, if you would, in Mark 2, verse 5.
I'm reading from the New International Version. Mark 2, verses 5 to 12. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take up your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this.
You know, I used to imagine the story and that he took his mat and walked out, but now I think he kind of went like this, you know? I mean, he was just so excited, right? He'd been laid out on this mat for how long? You know? And He's rejoicing because he's, well, what was something else that only the servant of the Lord Messiah could
forgive
do?
Forgive sin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He forgave his sins. I think that he was most excited about that.
Yes.
But also physically healed. So the Savior, the servant of the Lord referred to here in Isaiah 43, he saves us from the penalty of our sin, mm-hmm. which is
death.
Death.
He forgives our sins. What else can he do for us? Mm-hmm. In it's referenced in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Lisa, maybe someone needs what the servant of the Lord, right. Jesus Messiah, can do, mm-hmm. described in these verses.
Yeah, yeah.
Matthew 11, 28 to 30.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Mm-hmm. Mm. How many people need rest for their souls?
I do.
All of us.
We all.
Yeah, yeah. And unfortunately, some people don't know where to find rest mm-hmm. for their souls, mm-hmm. so they self-medicate, mm-hmm. yeah. right? Mm. With
drugs.
Alcohol.
Food.
Yeah. Food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm.
illicit relationships, mm-hmm. anything to self-medicate when really what they're longing for is rest for their souls. And by the way, I don't think rest for souls comes without forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think we need that. And it doesn't come without hope, Savior. Yeah. You see that Jesus can give us everything we need.
Yes.
He is the servant of the Lord. He comes down as a servant to provide everything we need. Well, I wish we could stay there, but we have to move on to chapter 45. And here, well, the liberal scholars struggle. And I just want to say, if you don't believe that God can foretell the future, well, either that was a very amazing guess that they told the name of someone who would be born over a century later, and not only that, but that he would be the one who would bring deliverance and allow God's people to go home, or you'd have to say, well, actually, this whole thing is a bit of a fabrication, and those things were actually written after the event. Mm. But it's interesting that Jesus speaks about Isaiah mm-hmm. as a one through whom the Spirit of God spoke. So let's see what the Spirit says through Isaiah the prophet. Harold, if you would read for us chapter 45, verses 1 through 4.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It reads, "Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze, and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me." Mm. Mm.
John, you just kind of, it's an amazing prophecy, isn't it?
This was unheard of, to have, leaders to be named, and also what their purpose or what their mission would be. Only God who knows the end from the beginning.
Can you think of other world leaders, world power leaders, that God used, even though it says, "You have not known me"? What does it mean, "you haven't known me"? Mm.
Relationship.
That's right. We don't have a relationship. You're not saying, "You're my God, the one true God, I worship you," and at least not at that point. Can God use people who don't even know him
yes.
to accomplish his purpose? Think, yes. mm-hmm. Give me an example.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The beautiful thing about Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel is, even though the dream and then the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fiery furnace story, and then being banished, chapter 4, God is so patient mm-hmm. that eventually he does recognize mm-hmm. the one true God, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Did you know we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar? in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. That is amazing.
That's something.
That is amazing, isn't
that
it?
That is amazing. Yeah.
But this whole idea that God knows the end from the beginning. Now, again, do we just say that was a good guess, or, oh, well, there must be a second Isaiah, maybe a third Isaiah too, and we'll piece all of this together, written later. Where even within the book do we find the testimony that God can foretell what's going to happen? He knows the end from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Can you remember where that's found? We've read it already in our study.
46, 9, and 10.
Would you read it for us, John? Maybe someone's joining us for the first time today. By the way, the prophecies of the Bible, I'm going to have you share some others. The prophecies of the Bible, fulfilled in every detail, have turned agnostics and atheists into believers in the one true God.
Amen.
They have. They say, that's amazing. That means we're not just here by accident. Mm-hmm. And that means there's hope for my future, mm-hmm. right? Amen. What does the Lord say through the prophet in chapter 46, 9 and 10?
It says in the New King James Version, says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that in the time of Cyrus, that someone came to him and said, I want you to see from the scroll of Isaiah that what you would accomplish for the God of heaven will be fulfilled through you? Yeah. Is that possible?
Wow.
I think so.
It is possible. Yeah. And he said, wow, that I have a destiny. Mm-hmm. I have a destiny. I have something that the God of heaven wants me to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was fulfilled just as described. Now, there was another prophet, a contemporary of Isaiah, who was a shepherd. We talked about the good shepherd in the previous study. But his name was
Amos.
And he said something, too, about the prophets. Mm-hmm. Could you find Amos chapter 3? Gladys, you have it? And
yes.
Verse 7, again, some may have heard this, but some may never have heard it. What does the Lord say through this prophet, shepherd prophet?
I'm reading from the New International Version, Amos 3, verse 7. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets.
Why does he do that? Was it just to show us how omniscient, you know what that word means, all-knowing, right? Mm-hmm. Is it just to show us how omniscient he is, or how omnipotent he is, that he rules over history? Why does he tell us, Travis?
John 14:29 says that he tells us these things so that when they do come to pass, that we will believe.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, so you're saying out of love, mm-hmm. he wants not so that just so that we'll know, but that we'll know him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Prophecies. Well, let's open up the discussion now. Somebody share with me a prophecy of the Bible outside of the ones we've studied that was fulfilled in every detail. Yes, Travis.
For me, it was a 2,300-day prophecy. As I studied, it took time. It actually took me a couple years to go through the details.
Where's that found, by the way?
In Daniel.
In Daniel?
Chapter 8, I think,
chapter
verse 14.
Chapter 8, right. And you need to study chapter 9, too, right, in order to get it all together, right? In fact, you probably need to study the Bible to put it all together.
But the fact that the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the Messiah would die right on time, he would be anointed right on time, and the 490 years and all the connecting prophecies with it, it blew my mind. I thought, how can anybody put something together so exact? And then as I was looking
by the way, just hold a second, because we're in 200 countries. It doesn't mean his head blew up.
No. Yeah.
To blow my mind would mean it was amazing. By
was
the way,
amazing.
It was to Daniel too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Strength left him and he felt weak and sick even because it was hard to comprehend what had been revealed.
And as I looked and studied them, I thought, if I take the starting date away, it still doesn't change anything. He still died right on time. It's like, God just didn't give one mark. In case we miss that mark, he gave us another mark and another mark. So they just line up perfectly so that there's no, we can have no reservation that this is real, it's true, and that it was proclaimed by God.
And by the way, if you're just joining us and you haven't been watching for years, We have a whole series on the prophet Daniel. Mm-hmm. If you go to hopetv.org/hopeSS and look for the prophet Daniel, you'll find that series, which covers a lot of amazing prophecies, but that one about 2,300 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, that takes us all to the time of judgment. So that's an exciting prophecy. Someone else, a prophecy that just really impressed you, that there is a God who knows the end from the beginning and can foretell through the prophets something that's going to happen. Anyone? Yes, Harold.
Well, Daniel chapter 7, and which correlates with Daniel chapter 2, and also Daniel, parts of Daniel chapter 8, talking about the kingdoms that would follow Babylon. And it happened as it was. If you look at even in history, when I took history, I was talking to my teacher, hey, did you know that the book of Daniel predicted that after Babylon, Persia, and then Persia, Greece, and then Rome? It happened in... God predicted it already in those chapters.
And fortunately, you don't go, oh, that's cool, because at the end of the vision,
a rock comes,
yep, cut out without hands, smashes the feet of that and grinds everything up and becomes a huge mountain that fills the earth. Yep. And that rock is
Jesus.
It is his kingdom, right?
Yep. Yeah.
It is his kingdom. So again, beautiful prophecy. Anyone else? A prophecy. The Bible's full of prophecies, but Daniel and Revelation, old Hebrew scripture, Daniel, New Testament, Revelation, have a lot of them, but there's also others. We've been reading in Isaiah. Yeah. John?
Well, specifically the one in Daniel chapter 2, where the legs of iron turn into the feet of iron and clay. That prophecy has really served to be comfort and assurance for people that part of the divided Roman Empire would not unite once again, although there have been efforts through history to do so.
I was going to say there have been countless kingdoms that have sought to prove that prophecy wrong, mm-hmm, right? And we could name some of them that wanted to send up world powers, and there's not going to be another world power. It's divided. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in the UK, and when they started forming all of the European Union and trying to bring everything together, it just doesn't seem to be cleaving together, does it? Yeah. Yep. So the prophecies are so reliable. Now, I want to ask you another important question. Lisa, maybe you could start. When did you, in your own heart, come to the conviction, you know, I can trust the prophecies of the Bible? Even prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the most significant one is the glorious return of Jesus, mm-hmm, which is spoken of more than any other prophecy in the whole Bible, is the return of Jesus. Mm-hmm. When did you come to the place in your life where you said, I can trust the prophecies that the Holy Spirit revealed through the Bible prophets?
Absolutely. I think about, there was a verse that was shared with me and has become one of my favorite verses. It's Numbers 23, verse 19. And it said,
Would you like to read it?
Yes. Okay.
That's a new one for us. Numbers 23, mm-hmm, and verse 19.
Yes.
And a friend shared this verse with you.
Yes. And it says, from the New King James Version, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make good? Wow. Mm-hmm. It just convicted me so much that God is not a liar. He's not. And when he says something, it's the truth. He's not like men who lie. And it was just such a convicting word for me, especially as it pertains to prophecy, that it is the truth.
Powerful, powerful. Now, I want you to imagine a friend comes to you and says, Travis, Harold, Gladys, John, Lisa, I really would like to have that kind of confidence that the prophecies of the Bible, especially the ones that assure me of salvation, sins forgiven, rest for my soul, hope for the future. But I just have so many questions. I struggle with so many questions. What would you say to her? What would you say to him? Anybody? Honestly, I'd love to really believe that those prophecies are true and will be fulfilled. Travis? Mm-hmm.
Probably I would share my testimony, mm-hmm, and then I would invite him to experience Jesus for himself.
And your testimony is that you didn't always believe, did you?
No. Mm-hmm.
But God brought you to that saving faith. What would you say, Gladys, to a friend who said, I want to believe, Gladys, but I'm struggling with so many questions?
I would tell, like Travis said, I would say, you know, I have questions as well, but test and see. test and see that the Lord is good, and I will probably share the many times that he cared, even of the little things in my life. That is not like a huge revelation, but the minor things that I may think, oh, I'm not going to pray about that because he may not be bothered with this, and he came through for me.
Do you know that the text you quoted, Psalm 34:8, is also a prophecy? Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Happy is the person who trusts
in
him.
The Lord.
It's a prophecy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you say, John, a friend, someone you've known for a long time,
yeah.
like, John, I'd really like to believe this, but I just have so many questions.
You know, I would affirm them. God understands our questions, and I wanted to let them know that, you know, our questions and our doubts are not too big for God, mm-hmm. and that even though there are scenarios where our minds may not understand, our heart can still trust based on what has been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Can God save people with questions?
Oh, yes.
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 Of course he can. You know what I tell people? I say, I'm going to ask Jesus when I see him, because there are some questions I don't have answers to. Mm. Well, if you've been blessed as we've talked together about the servant of the Lord and so many prophecies fulfilled, I want to remind you of this free offer, Radical Evidence, audiobook showing all of the prophecies pointing to Jesus and stories from today of lives changed. Mm. Remember, just write to our email address, sshope@hopetv.org, and in the subject line, just put free offer. We'll send you a link. I'm so excited that the prophecies give us courage and hope, a God who loves us with an immeasurable and unfailing love. Mm. Will you trust him today with your whole life? Mm. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the promise of the servant of the Lord, who not only would come 700 years before the event, but has come. And all of the prophecies are being fulfilled. And we long for the day when Jesus will return in glory. May we trust him today that we will be ready with joy on that day. In Jesus' name, mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. We're not done. We're moving through the gospel prophet, and we are seeing that we have a Savior. We have hope, and that's not something to keep to yourselves. Go out and share that good news with those around you.